name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "How I have longed to eat this meal with you." He longed to eat this meal because of the mysteries that he was to reveal. We remember that two sacraments were instituted in the Last Supper: the institution of the priesthood and the institution of the Holy Eucharist. Great, both great means of grace for the Christian people. As we prepare our hearts now, let us also stir up our desire to give ourselves completely to the Lord and receive from him all he has, so that we too might worthily eat this meal as we now approach the throne of grace, acknowledging our sins and crying out for the help and mercy we need.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
God our Father, we are gathered here to share in the supper which your only Son left to his church to reveal his love. He gave it to us when he was about to die and commanded us to celebrate it as the new and eternal sacrifice. We pray that in this Eucharist we might find the fullness of love and life. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it as the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure it for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one and shall share it in the lamb in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. And then, with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it: with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat it like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt, I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate, with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution." The word of the Lord.
Your hands, you have set me free. Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Quoting from our first reading tonight, "The lamb must be a year old male and without a blemish. It shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Seeing the blood, I will pass you over." From these words, we get the name of the great feast we remember in the first reading and we see fulfilled in the events of this holy Triduum. "I will pass you over." The feast is the Passover. It is the blood of the Lamb that marks them for deliverance. The name of the feast we celebrate tonight is the Mass of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper of our precious Savior, which began His fulfillment of the Passover. We remember that the blood that marks us for deliverance is no four-legged pasture animal, but the blood of the incarnate Word of God, the Word through whom the worlds were made. The blood of the sinless Lamb of God. Some of our Protestant brothers and sisters talk about the blood in a way that Catholics find foreign. The old hymn declares, "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." Or something like that. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. They often talk about pleading the blood. They talk about being washed in the blood. Some of our hymns sing of that. This is because the book of Revelation talks about the saints in heaven who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Made them white in the blood. I even said a few weeks ago in talking about overcoming the devil that we can take authority over him by calling on the power of the blood of Jesus. We should do it often. Not something I suspect many Catholics hear about very much in church. Sometimes it's talked about in a way that we find foreign, but we should be experts in the holy blood of our precious Savior. Catholics should specialize in divine hematology. A hematologist is a blood doctor, a doctor who specializes in blood. We all should be heavenly hematologists. On this night, above all other nights, we remember that Jesus gave us His blood not just to call upon, not just in which to wash, but most profoundly to drink. In John 6:53, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of Son of Man and drink His blood, you don't have life in you." The next verse, "Those who eat My flesh and drink My blood have eternal life." Those who drink My blood have eternal life. From the second reading tonight, in the same way He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me." This gift of gifts, what Vatican II calls the source and summit of our salvation, the Eucharist, our goal and the means to get there. This gift of gifts has been in the heart of God from the beginning. The Old Testament declares that life is in the blood. And the book of Hebrews declares, in a brief phrase with great implications, Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. So God has declared. The life of Jesus is in His blood. And we are washed clean as we drink the blood that was shed for our salvation. Who dares to touch the holy blood of the spotless Son of God? 1 Corinthians 11:29 warns us, which many disregard to their own peril, warns us that those who approach the blood unworthily brings judgment upon himself. Let's all take a deep swallow. One of the things that vex me most is to often see people at Christmas or Easter, weddings or funerals, with no apparent understanding of approaching the sacred ciborium and the precious chalice. Approaching it like a hot dog at a ball game. What about us? Have we approached unworthily? How dare we approach this Holy of Holies? How dare? This is what the writer to the Hebrews was talking about when he said, "Therefore, my friends, we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Christ, The sanctuary is the place that God dwells in all His heavenly glory. We have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Christ. It's our true home. It's what we were made for. To know God in His infinite majesty, face to face, forever and ever, discovering love more and more, joy ever increasing, never ending. Now we see dimly. But dimly we can see the sanctuary, the home of God, confidently entering by the blood of Jesus. The price of freedom is blood. The price of our spiritual freedom is blood. But it is not the blood of a peer, a mere human being. It is truly innocent blood, unlike our own. Sinless blood, holy blood, blood sent from heaven, not blood of this world. There are pictures of the crucifixion with a chalice catching the blood and water that flowed from the side of Christ. Have you seen them? Christ is crucified on the cross. It says, out of His heart, when He was pierced with the lance, out flowed blood and water. Picture shows the chalice catching. That, my brothers and sisters, that is the chalice we drink. A chalice with blood and water. The wine has water added. That flowed from the side of Christ. The eyes of faith see this chalice to be much more than it appears. Seeing this blood on your lips, the angel of judgment will pass you over. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, if we walk in the light. We who were far off have been brought near. And we can have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. What a pity if we do not enter in. We must be bold and enter in. We sing a song called Enter In. It's where the song Enter In comes from. I've asked Sean to lead us in singing it as a meditation. Join in if you know it, or join in. It's not in your worship aid. Join in if you know it, or join in as you learn it. But even more importantly, do what it says. Enter into the sanctuary with confidence by the blood of Jesus, to receive the blood of Jesus, and to have communion with the heart of God.